Vermont came close to, but ultimately did not pass, a bill last legislative session that would have legalized marijuana for recreational use. Other states like Colorado have already said yes to making pot legal, and in November, many other states could follow suit if voters approve various legalization bills on the ballot. One topic frequently discussed when speaking about the legalization of marijuana is the effect that it has on young people. Amelia Arias studies the impacts of regular cannabis use on student engagement and success, and she's director of the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at the University of Maryland, also principal investigator on the College Life Study. That's a long-term study of health risk behaviors among college students. Arias is the keynote speaker today, this afternoon, at the Department of Health's statewide symposium on alcohol, cannabis, and other drugs at Lyndon State College. She made a similar talk yesterday at the University of Vermont and joins me now on the line. Amelia Arias, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So as you do these talks, what is your central message about the effect that marijuana has on the academic performance of high school and college-age people?
Well, based on the research, we are pretty confident that marijuana use can impact educational achievement. And this is something that has not been as well recognized as it should be. It really has not been part of the conversation. So we really stress that people should consider negative educational outcomes as part of the downstream impact of increasing availability of marijuana.
What have your studies found about how often the college-age people use marijuana, for example, and the effect that it has on academics and what they're trying to do in their studies?
Well, that's a complicated question, but we find that probably about 30% have had some experience with marijuana in the past year, and about 20% meet criteria for a cannabis use disorder. So there's varying levels of frequency. But I think that the central message is that frequency of use is associated in the long term in prospective studies with increases in skipping class, disengagement from college attendance, and sort of just checking out of college.
So are we talking about chronic use of marijuana? And if so, what would that entail? How would that be described?
I think the central feature is use despite negative consequences and use in a context of relinquishing other responsibilities.
Given your research, do you make a pronouncement one way or the other on whether you favor legalization or not?
No, my role really is as a scientist and as a researcher, and as a public health professional, my main concern is really that the policymakers have the scientific evidence that they need to guide their decision making. So my goal here in Vermont is really just to inform that process by presenting research-based information.
And as far as the scientific studies go, you know, I have heard that marijuana can affect the developing brain in teenagers, perhaps up to the age of 21, unless I have that incorrect. Is that something that factors into your studies?
Definitely. There's been a long history of research showing that brain development continues actually into the late 20s. So drug use exposure during those critical developmental periods can really shift the way that the brain appraises reward, and that what we think is that if you use marijuana and other drugs during adolescence, you are more at risk for addiction and more likely to associate reward with immediate rewards rather than long-term rewards.
There are some people who would argue that marijuana is not an addictive substance.
I would like to show them some of the research studies that have been done that shows that a certain proportion of people do meet criteria for pretty severe dependence on cannabis. Certainly not all. And I just think that if you were to speak to clinicians who have had to treat marijuana use dependence among young adults, it's a very, very difficult thing. And when it starts to overtake a person's life and you have this constriction of your activities around getting, using, or recovering from the effects of the drug, it can become really problematic.
Amelia, some people hearing this may say, and this is a difficult question for me to ask, but they may say, you know what, I know people, I myself perhaps have used marijuana sparingly, not as a chronic user. In many years, I've achieved many things in life. I did fine in my academic studies. What would you say to them? I mean, is marijuana taken in moderation a dangerous drug?
Right. I think that the context in which we have to place these risks is the best analogy is with either speeding or seatbelt use. Sure, there's a lot of people who don't use their seatbelts and never got into an accident. There's a lot of people who speed frequently and don't have anything happen to them. But public policies and public health is here to inform the relative risk of doing something and having something bad happen. And we've decided as a society that things like speeding and seatbelts have boundaries around them, that we've decided that we don't want the public to take those risks because it increases the risk for something bad happening. So there's always the exception, and we call that the exception fallacy in public health science. But I think that that's really what we have to look at is if it increases the risk for these things, then we play it on the safe side.
Amelia Aria is the director of the Center on Young Adult Health and Development at the University of Maryland, also the keynote speaker today at the Vermont Department of Health's Symposium on Alcohol, Cannabis, and Other Drugs. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks a lot for having me.